The day is not far off when the bells of celebration will joyfully ring. Have that hope and knowing in your heart, everybody who's listening to this today. It has been the most wonderful statement for me all through the ups and downs that we all experience in life. To know who we are and where we come from. And that help is always there.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode. On this show, we are again positing the idea of living as an art and education as a gateway to learning the art of living. And it isn't just for the kids, it's for all of us. Because of course, as you know, we never stop learning. It's for all of humanity to learn how to really live and not just earn a living, as we are all taught. So, in fact, this is one of three of our shows that touches upon this topic. Two shows with Annemiek van Nijenthin. One was called Parenting and Teaching Enlightened Children. Another was called Welcoming the Incoming Enlightened Children. And a show that I did with my friend Cindy Bruder, UFOs, the Advanced Human Visitors with Solutions for All of Us. So, why the art of living? Well, because it's not enough to simply learn how to add up facts and figures. We need to know where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. Not knowing these three basic things has been the cause of a great deal of human misery in the world. Well, it's time to put all that to an end. I think that's something we can all agree on. So we're talking about a new approach to education and the role creativity plays in education, a very crucial role. And we all know how it is to be creative and to love life. But some of this gets conditioned out of us as we get older. So it's time to bring it back. And that's just what our guest, author, and educator Josephine Harrison had made part of her life's work. Along with Diana Gold Holland, they will walk us through this in this 2016 episode from a podcast we worked on called Share on the Air Radio. Josephine will mention how kids are born with creativity and it's gradually drummed out of them by our maladapted and inadequate education system. And this is reminiscent of that quote from Pablo Picasso, where he said, "Every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once we grow up." Currently, we don't inject enough creativity into the teaching of children, or in many cases, in their daily lives. And that, of course, is due to the overemphasis in our culture on preparing kids for a career, for the working world, rather than learning the art of living. Too often, we teach children what to think rather than how to think. Josephine Harrison points out that this is part of the reason why many children, by the time they reach adolescence, are afraid of life. Which may sound astounding, but I bet a lot of you remember having those sensations as a teenager. I know I do. And this, like so many other behavioral maladaptions, begins in childhood. Children are born knowing that they are souls in incarnation, but for the most part are unable to articulate this. However, this is now changing. We've all heard stories of children who have spoken to their parents, much of their parents' chagrin sometimes, of past lives. And in fact, even when they knew them, some children have said this, and takes a while for the parents to get over it, but after a while they integrate it into their lives, and sometimes they even see proof in their family's history and the world of the child that this is true. Simply amazing. Well, you're going to see more of this going forward. Our current education system knows nothing of this, and thus, by the time our children are teens, to some extent, they've lost that connection with the soul, and therefore with that creativity. And so does much of our society and our civilization. Now, however, people are beginning to look inward and get back in touch with their real selves at the soul level. Now, all of this is mentioned in the books of Benjamin Krem, who influenced both Josephine and our group here at Planetary Makeover. Benjamin Krem was a British author, artist, and esotericist. And one of his books, The Gathering of the Forces of Light, UFOs, and Their Spiritual Mission, touches upon some of this education in the New Age. And this was mentioned, of course, as said previously, in our show, UFOs, Advanced Human Visitors with Solutions for Us. You can check that out on the website for Planetary Makeover, along with the other two shows I mentioned, and a great deal more. Also in that show was mentioned the coming technologies of light, which will provide limitless free energy and so much more for humanity. In her interview today, we'll see Josephine Harrison and our host, Diana Gold-Holland, delve more deeply into this subject. Now, going back to the children, I'll bet many of us had that experience where we saw or felt something, but our parents said, when we mentioned it to them, that's not real, or instilled in us a fear of that, and after a while, we no longer saw it. Well, despite these seeming setbacks, Josephine Harrison tells us that she's witnessed a great deal of positive changes and growth and evolution in her audiences since she first began teaching and lecturing decades ago. And talking about the event that is central to this topic, the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. This is something she always included in her lectures. Now, religious figures are something that a lot of people don't want to follow anymore today. Well, the good news is the Masters of Wisdom are not religious figures. They're not looking for followers. They don't want you to believe in them. And since they're humanity's elder brothers, in a sense, that's you and I hundreds of years from now. You'll be a Master of Wisdom too. That's part of the evolutionary cycle for all of humanity. But we can get into that in depth at another time in another show. But the author, Benjamin Krem, was making the public aware of this subject in the late 20th century and early 21st century. And he reminded us that creativity can be synonymous with daily life. And as can the expression of the soul be. You can express your soul qualities every day. And part of that is expressing your creativity and practicing the art of living. And if you're a creative person, every act can be creative, as well as spiritual. And all of us can be a creative person. This isn't just limited to the stereotypical jobs of artists. But everyone can be creative. You have it in you. You've always had it in you, and it will always be there. And for discussing this vast subject, decades ago, Josephine was actually accused of practicing black magic. But nowadays, audiences don't bat an eyelash at this sort of subject, which shows that we are making progress. So in this talk, Josephine is focusing on educating children for the new age, the age of Aquarius, and fitting them for an era and a civilization characterized by brotherhood, trust, peace, and synthesis. Now, that's something I think we can all wrap our heads around, and something that we'll all welcome, regardless of our cultural background, our religious background, or our background in being an atheist or an agnostic. You do not have to have a religious background or any particular cultural background to appreciate this material. We can all gain from it, we can all learn from it, and we can teach one another. And isn't that what it's all about? Helping one another to move forward so we can create a better world based on trust, love, justice, and everyone having their basic needs met. That's how we're going to move forward. And that will be outlined as well by Josephine and Diana Gold Holland, the host, in this show. So enjoy.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Diana Gold Holland for our show today with Josephine Shodwe Harrison, who will be talking about a new approach to education. I'm not quite sure how this is going down. My Skype froze as I was calling in, so this is a backup line on phone. I hope it's working well. Josephine, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, maybe I'll just try to cancel out the whole Skype connection, and we'll carry on from this way. Of mice and men, mispa. All right, so here we are to talk today about a new approach to education and the role of the role that creativity plays in this new form of education. So I would like to introduce first our show and its premises. Many of you are long-term listeners to our program and know exactly where we're coming from, but every week we have many new listeners, and so I would just like very, very briefly to state our premises. And those are, number one, that we, humanity, are not alone. We never have been, we never will be, but we are finding now that at this time of very perilous transition for Mother Earth, we have actually literally called in extra help from divinity. The cry of humanity has gone up, and right on cue at the beginning of every new age, such as now the beginning of the age of Aquarius, a new teacher is sent, a new world teacher, to inculcate the new values and qualities that are needed for humanity to sustain and evolve further throughout the new age. So we have now in our midst a series, not only one, but a series of very great teachers called the Masters of Wisdom, who are emerging gradually to provide their help and counsel to us. And at their head is the Lord Maitreya. I'll spell that for you, Maitreya, who is the master of all these masters and the world teacher for this age. He is expected by all the great religions under their various names, such as the Christ for the Christians, the Messiah for the Jews, the Imam Mahdi for the Muslims, Krishna for the Hindus, etc., etc. All of these great religions have an expected one at this time, and he is indeed among us and emerging now more and more rapidly onto the world scene as we, humanity, approach, invite him and his other companion masters to approach us as we open that invitation, open that hope and expectancy that we can be helped at this very perilous moment. So these are the backgrounds to our information, which you can find in a publication called shareinternational.org. That is share as in sharing, S-H-A-R-E hyphen international.org. That website is a treasure trove, which will give you many, many, many hours of very insightful and pertinent information on the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters. And with them comes a whole new vision of reality, a whole new expectation, and a whole new possibility for humanity. Our show delves into various aspects of those possibilities that are now inviting us, and today we'll be talking about a new approach to education. My guest is artist Josephine Chaudoin Harrison, who was born in Norfolk, England, and studied sculpture to begin with at the Norwich School of Art. She has taught both art and meditation in England, Australia, and the U.S., and has exhibited her unique collage, textile collages internationally. And these are very, very beautiful collages of diaphanous material filled with light. I invite you to check out Josephine Harrison and her art. She has her own website, but let's get on with the bio. Josephine is past president of the Florida Federation of the Theosophical Society and an active student of the ageless wisdom teachings that we refer to many, many times in these broadcasts that we purvey to you, our listeners. The ageless wisdom teachings, worth Googling on their own. So Josephine is a longtime active student of these teachings. And she has also written and illustrated two children's books that present these teachings under the guise of fairy tales for all ages. So more on that later when we hear Josephine's own story. Let's get down to our topic of the day. The show description reads, "Education today is back to front." Josephine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello, Diana, and hello, everyone.
And this is what we want to start with. Education today is back to front. What is wrong with it? Please give us your view on that.
Well, I believe, and as I've educated on at various ages, I see that this lack of creativity in life, in the life of a child, it gradually gets lost. And we are so concerned with educating for a job that we lose, the child gradually loses its awareness of who it is, and when it becomes a teenager, it feels very fearful of life ahead. A child knows it's a soul in incarnation, and the process of gradually becoming a teenager helps it not to cement that and gain more about who it really is. It helps it to lose its contact with that extraordinary being of light that it is, and become so immersed in the personality which needs the support of that guardian angel, the soul, to make it truly the real server and lover of life and everyone that it should be.
There's a loss of this connection with our true inner selves.
Yes, it's so sad. I remember reading in, I think it was the introduction to one of Benjamin Creme's books. He said that he could see the wind when he was a little child. And he told his parents he was watching the wind, and they told him he couldn't see it. So he never saw it again.
Yes, and how many of our children have companions when they are young? And how many do we hear of people who are of the Buddhist tradition, who may remember parts of their previous incarnations, some of their previous belongings or friends that stay with them in the very, very early years of youth? This is documented through many cultures, is it not?
Absolutely. And if we nurtured that in our schools and in our understanding, then as the child comes into becoming a teenager, it has that great support of its guardian angel, its soul, instead of feeling totally lost when it loses that contact and has to move into all the terrible responsibilities of the civilization which we've built, we haven't done a very good job at all. And that is why it is dying, and we have all this hope of a new one ahead of us.
Right. And so, you know, many, many, many people realize that in very many instances, we are being educated to be consumers, to be docile consumers, and to be workers. And we, in that rush for the degree, that rush for the ticket in the world, we are looking to sustain our physical existence, our day-to-day paycheck, as it were. And that is what education is concentrating on. Today, we are talking about the topic of the education in the new age. And before we go any further, I want to invite you to get hold of the book by Benjamin Krem called The Gathering of the Forces of Light. Part two is all about the new education in the new age, and it is a very insightful follow-up to the conversation that we are having today. The author is Benjamin Krem, who is the chief spokesman on the Emergence Progress, a British esotericist and writer who has at least 16 or 17 books out on the topic of Maitreya's priorities and the whole reappearance story. There is this whole second section of his book, The Gathering of the Forces of Light, has to do with this educational process and families in the New Age, and I invite you to take a good look at that. Now, getting back to our topic, we had talked about education and how this might apply to the children of the world. Josephine, you say that adolescence for the soul, for the child, is the most difficult transition. Let's elaborate on that.
Yes, if the awareness of the soul in incarnation is nurtured as a child instead of, like I mentioned in the previous segment, being told you can't see your companion, your unseen companion by others or the wind, the child grows up without any connection. Whereas the reason why the child is so fearless, it has this wonderful connection with the soul, which knows only love. So therefore, it's known by Christian terms as a guardian angel. But it's just so wonderful that you watch a child and it runs around and discovers that it falls if it trips on something, and then watches it more carefully next time. And then when it becomes an adult or becomes a teenager to become an adult, it's lost so much of that because its parents keep saying, you can't see that, you can't do that. Instead of nurturing this awareness of this eternal part of them, when we die, we go back to the consciousness of our soul again. We come back again, and we are more aware next time we come back if we have fulfilled our life and fulfilled our destiny. And so we spiritualize matter, spiritualize the earth, spiritualize the world. And if we learn about all this as we are studying at school and again at college, and our actual life is related to who we really are, and now as we move into this extraordinary age of Aquarius, where we are seeing the dying of the civilization that we have really messed up, and there have been many before, and now we are coming into new energies and a new civilization, and it's vital that our educational process should be preparing these young people for what is happening. A new system is needed. The monetary system is breaking down. We see all this. We needn't be afraid of the change. We need to welcome it and help it to happen. So here we are moving into a new age, the age of Aquarius, new energies. The sun is in Aquarius and not Pisces now. And these new energies give us wonderful opportunity of building a new civilization with the guidance of the world teacher in our midst and communication. Today, it is a world happening rather than just in some specific area of the world. Humanity as a whole has reached that point of intelligence where we all can understand, if we are given the opportunity to learn, what is truly happening. So it is a wonderful time to be living in. But we have to be willing to let go of the past and welcome the future. That new light that is pouring in. That those of us who are not too buried in trying to earn a living can see and experience. And in my life of teaching children and then small children and then teenagers and then adults and then continuing education, I have seen how in the past people have lost so much in this world in which we're so worried about earning enough to live on. They have lost so much, and I find myself in teaching in continuing education bringing all that creativity and the light of the soul back again into their lives and into their awareness. And it truly is an extraordinary experience, and so sad, because that should have been carrying through the whole of all people's lives. And the loss of that connection with the soul, the love of one's life, has caused terrible suffering, terrible hatred, when people become so lost in their lives. And I remember I have hearing, when I was living in London, I remember hearing Benjamin Krem speak. A lady telephoned me and said, "You have to hear this extraordinary man. He's just healed me of amoeba dysentery," which I got when I was in India. And I heard this man, this was way back in the 70s, speak about this world teacher that was coming into our lives in the age of Aquarius. It was an extraordinary talk. And he had a remarkable mental focus, which reminded me of Krishnamurti. And when I heard all this for the first time, I found it very compelling, but didn't know quite what to think. And subsequently, I moved to the USA. I was living in London then. That's how I heard him, and I heard him several times. And I was telephoned out of the blue and asked if I would sponsor him in the southeastern USA. And I did. And I thought, if I don't, and it is, what he says is true, I will never forgive myself. So in that very Baptist area in the southeastern states in Florida, I did sponsor him, and I was accused by certain people of teaching black magic and all kinds of stuff in those days. I have watched an extraordinary change in people's attitudes to all this, and it's so encouraging. And in my teaching, I found myself teaching meditation. I remember in continuing education, I put on a program, Why Meditate? And I attracted an extraordinary number of business people who were needing something to have a better balance in their lives. So we went on with these classes of meditation and speaking, as I am now, about the ancient wisdom teachings and how the scriptures have in some ways so much distorted the truth about life. It's there in the background of all the scriptures, but the priests in the early days, to have more control, took reincarnation out of the gospel story, for instance. And so we have to remember that what we read, we have to understand the meaning behind so much of what we read. And that inner light, the intuition, is what gives us the richness of life. And it is also what is our creativity. To continue our conversation or my experiences, I was listened to Benjamin Krem speak, and the extraordinary information that he gave, which really made sense, and which I have not only been sponsoring him since the mid-70s, and watched things like the Berlin Wall coming down, which he foretold about, I don't remember now, 2 weeks before it happened, and other things. But the coming forward of the world teacher is much to do with humanity's free will. And we seem to be so buried in our worry about making a lot of money that we forget who we really are. But now there is awakening of the heart, I think, in humanity as a whole, as I've watched very carefully changes taking place. And it seems that the Bible statement of the sword of cleavage is really happening now. There is so much more light in the world because of the world teacher and his helpers being among us, that it not only lights up the light, the good that is happening, but lights up the bad, the resistance to the good. So we see the most awful horrors being worked out all over the world. And when that reaches a certain climax, as I understand the laws of life on this planet, then Maitreya will be able to come forward and show himself to all humanity. Many people have had experiences of him, and so often they are afraid to talk about it because they think they will be laughed at. I have given many talks on this subject, and what is so interesting to me is that people come up to me afterwards and tell me of experiences that they have had. This sort of thing should be something that we can share with everybody. It's real. Perhaps it's much more real than this living here on the physical plane. If we begin to realize that we are here many, many times for a period of under 100 years for most of us, and we come back life after life to become more and more perfect. But our soul is eternal. We are a spark of energy from whatever divinity or God or whatever your name is for that energy which oversees everything. We are a spark of that. And we come back life after life to spiritualize this planet. That is by the ancient saying of the Greeks was man is the measure of all things. This planet, to spiritualize it, is our responsibility. And if we are buried in our concerns about making enough living money to live on, then we are not necessarily fulfilling our purpose here. This is why we are seeing the end of a civilization and have the privilege of being here at the beginning of a new. And that's why the young people of the world are so much into transforming this planet and also saving it with all the pollution that is happening. We have to do something about this and be willing to look ahead and see that we need to have a new technology of light. We can't have that technology of light unless we stop killing each other and making money out of building weapons for other countries to kill themselves. This is a terrible approach to life. And that is why this light that's in the world is lighting up how this has to stop. And of course, our communications across the world, we know where it's happening and when it's happening. Whereas when I was born, we were running around in a pony and trap. So it's what I've seen is a huge change. But I've also, in this last 30 years, seen an extraordinary change in attitude, which is really very heartening. And I know it will come, but let's bring it soon, rather than keeping on trying to hold back the change. There is no need for fear. And that's what's good about so many young people now. They see the future. They see the need. I remember the great teacher, Sai Baba, who has an ashram in India, schools all over the world. He said the first priority in schools is to teach how to live. And I see where I'm living now, the teenagers coming back from school, and I still see them feeling so self-conscious, so many of them, and no love of the planet. We have to love our home. We love our apartment or our house or whatever, and we look after it. The planet is also our home. It's everybody's home. So when we throw trash all over the place, we are abusing the planet every day. Even in that small little area, we are also showing a lack of consideration to other people. Does somebody else want to see your trash or my trash? This is all the sort of consciousness there needs to be in the teaching in schools. But if we ourselves, the adults, haven't been given that awareness, how can we give it to others? So this wonderful unity of all life is what the age of Aquarius is giving us, because it is the age, whereas the Piscean age was the age of individuality, the age of Aquarius is the age of unity, of wholeness, of oneness of all life. I have here on my wall a collage, a textile collage picture. It It's a huge picture, and it is of the world with the Buddha shining his light onto the world, and the children of the world from all the countries carrying water pots. And on one side, there is a picture of the Christ with this huge water pot pouring the water onto the world, the waters of Aquarius. And one of the masters, a quote from one of the masters of wisdom, "The world awaits Maitreya as the water carrier. Unknown to most, the waters of Aquarius flow daily from him to all the world, blending and fusing, awakening men to the glory in their midst. Soon they will see and know him. Soon will they recognize and follow him. The day is not far off when the bells of celebration will joyfully ring. Have that hope and knowing in your heart," everybody who's listening to this today. It has been the most wonderful statement for me all through the ups and downs that we all experience in life. To know who we are and where we come from. And that help is always there. I remember a kid in Florida. She was very fearful. Don't remember the exact, 10 years old, something like that, becoming from a child into a teenager. And she, like so many children, was really fearful. She came back from waiting for the school bus one day, terrified because a man had stopped and offered her a ride. And I told her, I said, "You don't have to be fearful. You have a guardian angel. Fear is a barrier to that guardian angel. It's like a wall. And if you can free yourself from fear, nothing can happen to you." She kept that with her, that statement, all into adulthood. And I remember I left Florida, and she sent me an email with a picture. She said, "I've had a tattoo on my ankle of my guardian angel, and I wanted to tell you and thank you for that. It has been such a protection for me all my adult years." So these little stories can give us so much hope and so much to look forward to in our life ahead. Mine is coming to an end, but it's been an extraordinary life.
Well, I know we were going to talk about creativity in, you know, the transition from childhood to adolescence. Maybe a little bit on how methods to foster creativity in adults and older adults.
Yes, this creativity, because we have made our educational system so separate and do not see how all life is integrated, that the creativity should be in every aspect of our living. That's what makes life live. So if we have our reading, writing, arithmetic, and learning how to have a job, find a job, and all this sort of thing, if it is part of our creative life, then we enjoy life, and we know how life is so difficult now because the job that we have so often is so boring, it just deadens that creative life. And what is happening, which so many are so worried about, is that this new technology is freeing us for not needing these boring jobs, because the new technology will do it for us. And this is why we have to have a new system, not only of education, but a new system of being able to live. It's been suggested that there should be a new monetary system coming through the United Nations, that everybody should have enough money, as it is now called now, but should have enough to live on, a roof over their heads, and so on. They shouldn't have to go to some boring job to just have that. We will be
And of course, now with the communications technologies that we have developing, we are more and more in control of spreading the news of what's really going on. It's the voice of the people is really becoming a true entity in the world.
Exactly. It's so true.
And with all of these new technologies that the young people are especially, clued into, people can make their own movies these days. They can make their own operas. You can talk to your grandchildren across oceans. I mean, these are things that were not envisaged 50 years ago and that are so empowering, and so many of them free or almost free. It looks like a new golden age of creativity opening up if we but used it with this soul contact to truly think wider and higher.
Exactly.
In our daily lives.
So the leaders of the world, the leaders of the countries of the world, need to start seeing that future rather than afraid of letting go the past, and to welcome the opportunity for change that there is there. When the coal miners, for instance, lose their jobs, they shouldn't be afraid of not having something else to go to. You can't expect people not to hang on to the past when there is no future that they can see for them. The two have to come together.
Yeah. It's a matter for all of understanding the golden future that's available to us.
Exactly.
And I'd like to end with a quote that we both chose, Josephine, from Benjamin Krem's book, The Art of Living, which is, "The art of living is the art of giving expression to that creative fire and so revealing the nature of men as potential gods."
Yes, that is so wonderful, that quote of Benjamin Krem's.
It's absolutely central to this discussion. We will be wrapping up soon. I want to invite people to go to the source of our information on the show, which is www.share-international.org. This is a treasure chest where you will find not only an introductory tour and free book downloads, but just hours and hours of total background to this most exciting story, this most exciting view of the new time. At this time of extraordinary challenges on Earth, we are being invited to think higher and wider. When we look at all the terrible things that are being reported on the news, and yes, people are living through terrible experiences, there's no question about that. But behind this, the tapestry for civilization as such is monumentally positive.
We're moving into a new world.
We truly are, and it's already become. It's no longer future tense. We are definitely moving into the age of Aquarius with the presence of these great teachers to completely help us transform our experience of what it is to be alive and what it is to understand, recognize, and fulfill the fact that we are actually souls in incarnation.
Exactly. That's our consciousness. When that's our automatic consciousness, then life will really live.
I really thank you, Josephine, for this. And I have seen this understanding of consciousness, for example, in your beautiful diaphanous collages. And I understand I've looked at how you have very creatively explain some of the tenets of the Ageless Wisdom teachings in your books. They're very beautifully done. It's wonderful to have these fairy tales for people of all ages that explain difficult concepts like continuity of consciousness and the importance of continuity of consciousness, of continuity of awareness from lifetime to lifetime, so that we, as vehicles for the soul, allow that soul its breathing space, allow that soul to expand and be nourished and completely in line with the flow of divine life. This is what we're looking for in the next age, the age of Aquarius, the age of brotherhood and synthesis.
Yes, it truly is. The most popular of my pictures has been The Children Round the World. The title of Brotherhood, and that is what we're all about, the brotherhood of humanity.
I love that picture, Josephine. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Visit us on Facebook at #PlanetaryMakeover. This show has been a production of PlanetaryMakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our bi-weekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternationalwest.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. We also invite you to watch another show that we really love entitled What in the World is Happening? And that show, which you don't want to miss, is produced by Share International Canada. Please view episodes of What in the World is Happening on demand at youtube.com/@messageofhopeweekly. It will be live streaming mostly on the second Saturday of every month at the Share International Canada Facebook page.